Ice Cash Color Camp is a high level of conversation. As you see, we are not at Live Hip Hop Daily Studios today. We are in my apartment, aka Urban Grove Media Studios. And I have a guest who I've been wanting, as I mentioned, I've been wanting to speak to for a very long time now, and that is Kat Packer. Kat, congrats. Welcome to Cash Color Camp.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
No problem. No problem. For Kat, for those who don't know or aren't familiar with you, can you please just state your name and tell us about your what you do and what your background is here in cannabis?
Yeah, so my name is Kat Packer. I currently serve as the Director of Drug Markets and Legal Regulation for the Drug Policy Alliance. Also serve as the vice chair of an organization called the Cannabis Regulators of Color Coalition, a group of existing and former cannabis regulators who are persons of color, leading different regulatory efforts across the country. I served as the first executive director for the City of Los Angeles's Department of Cannabis Regulation from 2017 until 2022. And nowadays, I'm working on all things cannabis and drug policy reform, but have spent a lot of time over the course of the last year working on federal cannabis policy.
Right, that's great. So you definitely have a vast background in cannabis, but again, you started off your career basically in Los Angeles about 5 years ago, as when you was executive director of the CDR. Can you speak to us a little bit about your role there, and what was the thing that you would call yourself most proud of while you were in why were you in that position?
Yeah, so I had the opportunity to help lead the City of LA's Department of Cannabis Regulation, help stand it up, staff it, really lead its efforts in adult use and medical cannabis regulation, and started that effort in 2017 at a time when many jurisdictions were still just kind of stepping into whatever adult use recreational cannabis would look like. Before many jurisdictions started grappling with cannabis as a social equity and social justice issue. So I think because we were kind of on the forefront of these conversations back in 2016 and 2017, we were amongst the first jurisdictions to try and establish programming and intentionally acknowledge and address harms associated with cannabis criminalization. Because of those efforts, hundreds of equity businesses have been licensed in the city of Los Angeles. Folks have had resources, and we know that there are still many different challenges with those programs, not only in the city of LA and California, but all across the country. But have made an intentional effort to try and share lessons learned, to be frank about mistakes that were made along the way. But my proudest moment and moments in this process are really seeing how, through engaging on cannabis policy reform, communities, in particular Black and Brown communities, low-income communities, are really engaging with their government for the first time. And learning how to hold their government accountable and participating in government. And I think that once folks, learn it for a particular issue, cannabis, they can apply that in different issues that are of priority in their lives. And so I've seen it, transform how communities can hold their leaders accountable. And that's what I think is the most important piece of this overall.
That is awesome. 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 So, prior to this, how did you find yourself in the cannabis in cannabis overall? Like, what were you doing prior to before this?
So I graduated from The Ohio State University in 2015, and I graduated from the law school in 2015. And my last semester in law school, I had an opportunity to take a marijuana law and policy course. And it was the most kind of fascinating course I had taken, and had decided largely because of that course that I wanted to get involved in cannabis policy reform professionally. But it was while I was taking that course that I had an opportunity to read Michelle Alexander's The New Jim Crow, and was really blessed at the time, in part because she was a professor at Ohio State University. She wasn't my professor, but I was really just one it meant a lot to be able to, at that point in time, like see a Black woman who was holding folks accountable and just, speaking truth to power. But there was a particular quote in the New Jim Crow that really stuck with me, where Michelle Alexander says that nothing has contributed more to the systematic mass incarceration of people of color in the United States than the war on drugs. And that was such a profound statement to me, in part because while I was taking this course, I learned that at the time, about half of all drug arrests were for marijuana, and about 80% of marijuana arrests were for possession. And Black and brown folks were disproportionately arrested. And so everything just kind of came into picture for me, and decided that I wanted to get involved, and learned about DPA's campaign in 2016 to legalize cannabis in California. And so ended up moving from Ohio to California to work on that legalization campaign.
That's awesome. Did you ever get a chance to meet Michelle?
I did. One of my favorite pictures is a picture that we took together when we were in LA at a gala for an organization called All of Us or None, which works with formerly incarcerated individuals. But Michelle Alexander's younger sister actually taught my African American studies course when I was in undergrad, and ended up writing a letter of recommendation to for me to go to law school. So I've just really been impressed with the family in general. But I know that her work for so many people has been illuminating and pointing out the harms of cannabis criminalization in the larger drug war, and the impacts, particularly, that it's had on our criminal justice system and Black and brown communities.
Yes. So, but you've been able to amplify your voice when having these conversations as well. And the reason we're here today is because of an announcement that was made. Well, not an announcement, but it was news that came out a little while ago that Joe Biden and that Joe Biden administration were looking at possibly descheduling. Well, not descheduling. Excuse me. They was possibly trying to bring down. Well, descheduling cannabis from Schedule One to Schedule Three, and it became a conversation all up and down my timeline. And it was mixed with different reactions. Some people were pro for it, some people were against it. And I thought that you would be a great person to have this conversation with. How did you feel when you first heard the news that that could be a possibility that Joe Biden's administration could push that?
Well, this is something I've been paying a lot of attention to over the course of the last year. When President Biden was running for office in 2020, he promised to decriminalize cannabis and expunge records. And to date, he's taken actions on pardons, which essentially gives forgiveness for a particular past criminal offense. But those records still exist. And so there's one I just want to note. There's a difference between an expungement, which would completely erase or eliminate a record, and a pardon, which essentially allows that record to continue to exist. But then you can have this piece of paper that says, but the president has exempted me from this record. So with this rescheduling conversation, what we saw is in October of 2022, President Biden issued a statement saying that he was issuing pardons for simple possession of marijuana at the federal level. He was encouraging governors to do the same, issuing state pardons at the state level. And he was calling for a review of how marijuana is classified under a law called the Controlled Substances Act. And what we've learned since then is that the intention or recommendation, there are essentially two agencies that are involved in this process, HHS, the Department of Health and Human Services, and the Drug Enforcement Administration, the DEA. And what has happened since President Biden's request for this review back in October 2022 is that we've seen the Department of Health and Human Services recommend that marijuana be moved from Schedule One, which is the most restrictive class under federal law, to Schedule Three, which is a less restrictive class under federal law. This process is known as rescheduling. The term descheduling refers to removing marijuana entirely from control under the Controlled Substances Act. So descheduling. So what we've seen and what's been recommended thus far is rescheduling of cannabis, and there are a number of different consequences associated with a potential shift. And we can talk through some of those, but I think it's important for folks to note that as long as marijuana is scheduled on the Controlled Substances Act, marijuana will be criminalized under federal law. So if we see this shift from Schedule One to Schedule Three, marijuana will still be criminalized under federal law. Activities that individuals are engaged in that are authorized under state law, for example, states have authorized medical programs, they've also authorized recreational adult use programs, all of those activities would still be considered illegal under federal law. What would change, and it's in part because it's not a legal change, it's a regulatory change, and I know that that's kind of technical, but it changes. One, it would require the federal government to acknowledge that there's some type of medical utility for cannabis, which is important because this is something that we've all known for a very long time, you know, but we need federal agencies to acknowledge this reality. Move to Schedule Three would also require the federal government to essentially say that marijuana has an abuse potential that is less than Schedule One or Schedule Two drugs, so it's less dangerous than those other drugs. But and it would also result in tax relief for the cannabis industry. So that's part of the reason why the cannabis industry is really excited about it, because you know, right now, the cannabis industry is subject to a penalty where they're not able to make normal business deductions. If it was moved to Schedule Three, they would be able to make these business deductions. So there are these consequences, and I don't want to suggest that a move to Schedule Three would be inconsequential. But as someone who is primarily in this, concerned about the harms that cannabis criminalization has had on people, family and communities, just want to acknowledge that this rescheduling process and decision is not a policy solution for those issues. If we want to address those issues, we're going to need to remove cannabis entirely from the Controlled Substances Act. We're going to need Congress to take action to create opportunities for expungement, to ensure that folks have access to federal benefits, to ensure that, you know, veterans can access cannabis, to protect what's happening at the state level. Rescheduling won't do that. And so I'm of the position, the Drug Policy Alliance is of the position, the Cannabis Regulators of Color Coalition is of the position that rescheduling is not enough. We support decriminalization.
And you're right, rescheduling. Now, and there's also other issues that come with rescheduling, like you mentioned on a state level. It may impact people's job statuses, may impact people with living situations. Can you go into a little bit more detail about how this could impact people past the fact that it's going to be a tax write, it could be a tax breaks for actual businesses?
Yeah, and I think for most folks, the reality is that it's not going to change things as it relates to housing or employment or education, in part because this rescheduling outcome will create a scenario where, you know, we have what's considered to be state legal medical use and state legal adult use. Well, rescheduling would essentially create this concept of federal medical use. But the way that the federal law works, in summary, is that the only way that you're able to have access to controlled substances, particularly drugs, is through FDA approval. And so there hasn't been any. The FDA hasn't approved any specific marijuana drugs. It's like when you go, if you're going to the pharmacy, you have a prescription for a particular drug, maybe because you're experiencing some particular type of symptom, right? You don't have a prescription for all things. You have a prescription for that particular substance, and that particular substance, that particular drug that's been manufactured by a pharmaceutical company has gone through a very extensive and expensive FDA approval process. Now, rescheduling would create a means by which, if a pharmaceutical company or business wanted to go through that FDA approval process, it could. But the FDA approval process for cannabis is going to be increasingly difficult because it's a plant. And so, there aren't any other like botanical substances or cannabis botanical products that have been created to date. The FDA has approved. There's a drug called Marinol, Epidiolex.
Yeah, that's been on the market for a while now, hasn't it?
Yes, it has. And so there will be a mechanism for like these specific types of FDA approved products to come to market. And if you are a user of that FDA approved product, you are engaged in legal activity. But if you're not using an FDA approved product pursuant to a prescription, if you're using cannabis that just came from your, state's medical cannabis program, if your state's medical adult use cannabis program, you're not going to get the benefit of federal legal protection because that activity is still considered to be illegal at the federal level. And so I do think it's going to cause a lot of confusion. I've seen a lot of misinformation about the different implications about this process. So I'm really urging, I've been urging federal government to ensure that there's some education around this, because what I'd hate to see is for the headline to be, we've legalized federal medical marijuana use, and then everybody think that cannabis has been legalized. We see some type of backlash, particularly in the South, where there are, large Black or brown populations that are still under these policies of prohibition, and are likely to remain so unless there's an intentional effort to address that.
And I'm glad you touched on the topic of just the miscommunication. Like, I remember when we decriminalized in Atlanta, people thought that that meant legalized. And you saw a lot of people actually go to jail because they thought, well, now I can just smoke wherever I wanted to when they weren't reading the details. It's not the same thing. So it definitely needs to be a situation where better communication has to be brought out about what is happening when it comes to whether it's rescheduling or even a possibility of legalization. I think the biggest issue, right, biggest one of the biggest issues has been lack of communication on how it's been presented.
Yeah, and for folks who are interested in learning more about the process, or at least following me in the process, I've been doing work with an organization, a coalition called United for Marijuana Decriminalization. You can find us at decriminalizemarijuana.com. We have on our website just our platform, us calling for a larger decriminalization. We expect, the next step in the process. Talking about this scheduling process that's happening at the federal level is for the DEA to issue a proposal. I expect before the DEA makes a final rule, it'll give the public an opportunity to provide public comment. And it's going to be really important that folks are engaged in the public comment process and that they, tell the DEA, that they tell the Biden administration, that they tell Congress that rescheduling is insufficient. I think we can, say that we appreciate that it'll allow for tax relief and that it will lessen research restrictions, that it will, allow for the federal government to acknowledge what we all know, that there's medical utility. But I think particularly for the types of issues that everyday folks, Black and brown folks are experiencing, cannabis operators, users are experiencing, we need more, and we need our elected officials to acknowledge that, there's more to be done and to act with urgency to do those very things.
Yes. Now, my fear was that this is happening because we're in an election cycle right now, and that often whenever we're in an election cycle, cannabis becomes a hot button topic. And I'm fearful of that this might be something that becomes it's kind of a rushed idea that happens just because you need to get a couple extra votes, and then it becomes a dead issue after you get elected. Has that been a thought in your mind as well, as about whether or not this is just another political football that's being thrown away, that thrown around?
Yeah, I mean, I think The reality is that politics has always been a driver of cannabis policy in this country, to the detriment of people. And I think right now, my concern is that there are lots of leaders. I think most, even presidential candidates, folks like Nikki Haley, will say stuff like, "I support states' rights or the ability for states to make a decision about that." Well, if you support the ability for states to make a decision about that, then you should support decriminalization, because it's only under a framework of decriminalization that there aren't going to be penalties in place for the states that make a decision, for the constituents who are in states that make a decision. So even the folks who say that they support, quote unquote, this just from a states' rights issue, which I think even conservatives and most Republicans will posit that that's where they stand on this issue. That means that you should be supporting decriminalization. That means that you should be supporting descheduling. This rescheduling conversation, as long as we're still under the Controlled Substances Act, we're dealing with a federal framework that's criminalizing what's happening at the state level. I've seen, there are letters that came out from governors, from different attorney generals, Democratic and Republican folks, I believe. But these folks were saying, let's reschedule before the end of the year. And what I would have preferred to see from these elected officials, from these leaders, particularly leaders who have adult use and medical cannabis programs, saying, we support decriminalization. I recognize maybe that through the administrative process, this limited process that was created by the CSA itself, we may not be able to get to a descheduling decision, but what we need is descheduling. I need folks committed to the outcome, not the strategy. And I feel like there are so many folks, particularly because this is an election year and folks want to be supportive, are settling for less than what is necessary. Because they want to be able to get a win. And I'd rather us be honest with ourselves and our communities and say, this is as far as this particular step is going to take us. We actually need to get over here. And folks start to do the work of what it's actually going to take to get us to a more responsible and equitable framework. And to be frank, states are already taking the lead on this. I think part of the confusion is that the federal government assumes that it's going to have to take on this enormous proactive role, and there is a role for it to take. But I do see that this political and politics conversation is at least in media starting to be framed. And I would just encourage both the public and policymakers to remember, what harm we got ourselves into when we allowed, politics, particularly racial politics, to get us in the place of criminalizing this in the first place.
Regardless of who's elected president, regardless of who's elected into Congress, I mean, elected into Congress, how optimistic are you that you will see legalization coming through within the next maybe 1 2 years?
Yeah, I'm not particularly confident that we're going to see federal legalization in the next 1 or 2 years. I think the reality, and part of that is it's a symptom of kind of the movement and the industry's own creation. Folks aren't at Capitol Hill and on Congress talking about the end of criminalization and legalization. Folks are up at Congress talking about safe banking. And rescheduling cannabis, right? We're not even talking about legalizing and decriminalizing cannabis in the way that we need to be. Our priorities have been almost singularly focused on trying to get banking access and what the results of this rescheduling process have been over the course of the last year at the federal level. So I think it's going to require folks to reprioritize their goals. To make sure that policy makers are educated on the different implications, what's at stake, and that folks begin to do the work of identifying and proving bills and getting them passed, getting folks lined up to pass these bills. And I do think that we're at a moment now, there's more attention on cannabis policy reform than there has ever been. Folks are talking about this at the White House and Congress, listening to this issue like they've never been. And I'll be damned if we are in this moment and the only thing that we're talking about is rescheduling. We have an opportunity to acknowledge that this policy at the federal level has been racist from the start, to end those policies that are harmful to communities, to create a better framework, to learn from what states have done thus far. I think we're only going to get there if we have accurate information. I appreciate the opportunity to, share what I've learned thus far. I'm continuing to learn new information, but we really need government leaders and these different agencies to be frank about, what the limitations and consequences of this decision will be.
Well, I'm thankful that we have voices like yourself who are advocating for us. Before we leave, can you let people know how they can get involved and say, even helping out with what you're doing and the work that you're doing, how people can get involved themselves and just make them, if they amplify their voice?
Absolutely. So you can follow my work with the Drug Policy Alliance at drugpolicy.org. As I mentioned, I'm working with a group, United for Marijuana Decriminalization. You can find more about us at either deschedulemarijuana.com or decriminalizemarijuana.com. You can also find more information about the cannabis regulators of color online and through our LinkedIn. But thank you so much for having me.
No problem, Kat. I appreciate your time today. And that is Cash Color Campus, a high level of conversation.